everyone. Thanks for joining this, the 58th Wikibon Peer Insight Research Meeting. My name is Dave Vellante, and I'll be your host for the session. And the topic for today's discussion is reducing primary storage costs with real-time data compression. And it's our pleasure today to welcome our guest, Burzin Engineer, who's the Vice President Infrastructure Services at ShopZilla, also known as BizRate.com. Burzin, welcome.
Good morning, Dave.
Burzin, it's great to have you here today. Thanks for joining us. I wonder if you could just start by telling us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So, as you mentioned, my name is Burzin Engineer. I'm the Vice President of Technology over at ShopZilla. I've been at ShopZilla for 5 years. I manage the systems, network, storage, the 24/7 NOC, and the application support teams over at ShopZilla. I've been in the industry around 18 years, mostly centered around Web2O.com based insane growth companies, very fast-paced, dynamic environments.
So tell us a little bit about ShopZilla, if you would.
ShopZilla started off as a Wharton graduate entrepreneurial program thesis by two founders called Farhad Mohit and Henry Asili, 1996. They got a C on that paper, unfortunately, but they very strongly believed in the concept of comparison shopping as broadband and internet-based shopping was picking up steam. And so they founded a company called BizRate.com. That was just one piece of the pie. The other piece was to actually show comparison of products and pricing on their website. We have about 38,000 merchants today that subscribe to our website and upload their products. We have close to 40 million products on our website. Basically, when you are dealing with 40 million products and 38,000 merchants, they give you their feeds, XML format or an Excel spreadsheet or comma delimited. You know, we take it in many forms. But the ability to crunch through that data and present it to the end user, as in the customers that come to the website, in as fast a manner as possible so that you're showing the absolute latest entry of the merchant to the consumer. To give you an idea, we are able to crunch through this data about 6 times a day. Automated without human intervention. Our closest competitors refresh their data probably once every 3 days.
So here you are, you've got this insane growth.
The amount of data we collected that we needed to analyze was just growing. I think in the year 2005 to 200%, right? Just a lot of late nights, a lot of scrambling to add more without impacting the business.
Tell us a little bit about the environment. You've got this diagram up here. It's on the website on Wikibon. It's called StoreWise NAS Compression Testing Architecture. Maybe tell us a little bit about the NAS systems you have, and then we can talk about how you applied compression and what kind of results you got and what issues you have.
ShopZilla, we have Spark for our NAS and a 3-part on store for our second NAS. So we never have one of anything. We learned that a long time ago. And that acts as our primary environment for our headquarters, which is where all the data flows back from our co-location facilities. That's where all the dev, QA, and back-end analysis of the data happens. For instance, warehouse. Also at headquarters. The headquarters has a small, 400 square feet data center. And clearly when you're playing with large data sets in production, the general rule of thumb is that you have close to 10x that amount of data in dev and QA just because of different teams and different groups trying to harness the power of that data. Clearly they're not all going to share one instance of it because it's really... It slows them down and not very efficient. In our case, my mandate was enable the dev and QA teams to do their job in the most efficient way possible. And the most efficient way at that point was to allow each team to have their own copy of this humongous chunks of data, instead of trying to figure out a better way with by using snapshots or some mirroring and stuff like that, because we have to understand that the data that we have is useless after 3 weeks. So all the data that I have sees a churn of about 30% every week as merchants update their feeds, as we crunch through our data, as they update new images. The entire data cycle, the freshness of the data is key for dev and QA to work to do the job. Given this amount of growth, I was adding a lot of edge, as you can imagine. And I was exploring ways of gaining efficiencies without impacting business. That's when I came across StoreWise. So if you look at the diagram, for those of you who can, for those who can't, it's no big deal. Basically, it's an inline compression device that sits between the network and your storage. It acts as a switch, so it's almost like a pass-through. You wouldn't even know it's there. And its job is to do inline compression of data. Now, when I first looked into this, it was to gain efficiencies on the storage side, be a little more green and environmentally friendly by using less spindles, less power. As it turned out, once implemented, the key benefit was that things were faster. I didn't expect that, but it was a nice surprise to have. It makes complete sense because you're writing less data, right? And we were seeing a compression of 50% on our Oracle backups, our man dumps, and the data warehouse team was extremely happy because the backup window went from 5 hours to 2.5 hours, purely because they were writing less data as the StoreWise was compressing in line.
Virgin, you said that was a 50%, 5-0?
Correct. Now, you won't always get 50%. It just so happened that our data is textual-based. But you'll see anywhere from, 30 to 50%, maybe even more. Like, for example, our source code repository sees close to 65% compression ratio, right? Because it's mostly text-based, and text compresses phenomenally well.
Is there anybody else on the call who has any experience with applying compression to primary storage?
Dave, David Berman, how are you?
Hi, David. How you doing? Good to talk to you. Guys.
Doing well.
So folks may remember David from UBS Financial.
So we've gone through about a year and a half of testing and certification with the StoreWise appliance, and have seen very similar things to what was described here. Our workload, instead of being NFS, was strictly focused on SIF data, and we saw anywhere from about 60 to 70% on an average compression. We actually saw in certain workloads as high as 90+% compression. And to the point of performance, we were seeing somewhere about 27 to 33% improvement in I/O and response time and throughput. So the marketing and the sales that StoreWise was throwing out, we were actually seeing in a lab environment and in a production environment.
Does anybody know other technologies are out there? I mean, other vendors that do this, or is it really just StoreWise?
It is Josh. It is the only company which make it in flight. You have different compressions, but so you cannot make it on flight. And it's only for NAS. It's not for SAN.
So David, I can answer some of that. I mean, there's definitely other companies out there. StoreWise isn't the only one. There is Ocarina that does it, but their model is based more on actually identifying the type of file you have and then trying to compress that. And it's not a scalable solution, as you can imagine. There are others that actually do it within their product, but that has the, for example, if you're running a ZFS job, ZFS can compress on edge actually resides, but at that point, you are using the CPU cycles of your NAS or your SIF server, which actually takes away from your performance, right? So as far as I know, in terms of having it in line, and as a separate product which just sits there kind of like a pass-through mode and compresses on the fly. I think there's only StoreWise. I may be mistaken. Others on the call can correct me.
If I'm understanding this correctly, I can apply the StoreWise compression to any storage, well, any NAS storage, as Josh pointed out. But, for instance, doesn't Solera do compression? But obviously I need a Solera to do that. Am I understanding this right? Can I apply this to any of my storage? Any of my
Correct.
Storage? Yeah, okay.
Yes.
So it's a heterogeneous solution, right?
It is appliance which is connected in Sirius.
The question I have, has anybody tested this in the use of with a VTL, where a VTL is front-ending to NAS? Because when you talked about the compression of that data and replicating of that data, one of the use cases I immediately came to thought was, if I can write the data into from my VTL into my NAS, I can therefore compress it. I can also, in essence, do snapshots of my compressed data and then replicate that up to my other site to provide a more effective disaster recovery.
So
has anybody ever tried that?
So how about that? Anybody on the call, or is there somebody from StoreWise on the call that can address that?
Well, this is Christian Byrne from StoreWise here. I'm a regional sales engineer with StoreWise. The general rule of thumb with our technology is that we're protocol-based. So we can really operate in any vendor environment, and we sit in front of the NAS operating on a protocol level. So as Burzin and referenced earlier and the diagram indicates, we sit between the switch and the NAS storage, effectively transparently. You don't know we're there, but we operate at a protocol level. So any SIFS or NFS traffic that's going in or out of the storage, we can compress or decompress. Typically what we see with any sort of backup scenarios is that our technology is designed to compress really at the primary. You know, your first copy of that data that's hitting the storage over SIFS or NFS is getting compressed as it's written. And then, as Dave has mentioned, if you go to replicate or move that data, really any access to the data over another protocol, any non-SIFS or NFS protocol, gets the data in its compressed form.
So, Mike, understand then that a technology like data deduplication would be better to apply to backup, and then compression maybe better to aim at primary storage. Is that right?
From our perspective, yes. I mean, given the fact that our technology, as has been referenced by a couple testimonials here on the call, that we don't negatively impact performance, we give you the ability to go ahead and compress that primary storage. One of the common misnomers or misconceptions is that, I have to do compression or deduplication, but in fact, our technology is highly complementary to deduplication. So many of our customers, they compress on the front end with us, and then they dedupe on the back end. You'll still get a reduction ratio on that data set with the deduplication technology, whether it's a NAS, inherent NAS-based technology like a NetApp deduplication or even a third-party vendor like Data Domain. You'll still get reduction on that data set. The nice part being that technology has less blocks to scan and dedupe because the data itself has been compressed up front.
Right, well, that's interesting. Thank you, Christian, for filling us in on that. I mean, dedupe is obviously in the news, and it's more in the news because people are now willing to shell out $2 billion for Data Domain. But really dedupe, with some exceptions, Josh, you might be able to comment here, but and Nick and others, dedupe is primarily aimed at backup, and there seems to be a lot more money spent on primary storage than there is on backup.
That's true. Backup or archiving, not active data.
So why wouldn't I compress everything?
Well, and by the way, this is John again. So my thought was, instead of also having 14 different thousand technologies in my environment that I have to try to manage, having a core set of technologies allows me to provide better service to my organization. It's part of the reason why I was thinking about that additional use case.
Well, you guys might remember John, when he was at Wells Fargo, presented to or the Wikibon community around a services-oriented architecture for storage, really. Your point there was build a portfolio of standard services that you can refresh every, 12 or 18 months, and this seems to be a technology that you would treat as a service.
I would actually treat it as a technology component to one of my service solutions. We are actually in the process of delivering a full services-based architecture here at Safeway, where I'm at now, and it is actually working quite well. The business loves it. They love the, shall we say, the attitude that storage is a service to them as opposed to storage is a necessary evil. And like I said, I was looking at this because there are, in essence, you can attach NAS storage behind some VTLs. And being able to compress that data without having to use a data deduplication engine because of the performance in real time actually provides, in essence, a real-time deduplication or a, even though it's not technically deduplication, it's a real-time compression. And you're, what it sounds like, the claims, is I'm going to get roughly the same amount of compression as what I would do with my deduplication. And if I could do that, then I can use, in essence, a single platform for both my real-time and also some of my backup and therefore reduce my overall costs.
I don't think that you will get the same reduction. I mean, the typical practical deduplication is between 10 and 20, and more the vendors say up to 50, but realistic is about 10, 12. With compression, you're getting 1 to 2, 1 to 3.
So the point there is, with compression, you're getting less, but you're applying it potentially to a lot bigger base. Now, there are technologies, correct me if I'm wrong, that you were, like ACES, for instance, where you can apply dedupe to primary storage, but as Josh pointing out, the ratios are much lower, and I believe there are performance impacts, and of course there are compatibility impacts as well.
Yep.
Unlike what I'm hearing about StoreWise, it's not heterogeneous. Is that correct?
I think this whole conversation is about the fact that you can use both. At Shopzilla, we use StoreWise to compress our VTLs, but we don't really call it VTL. We just have a Tier 2 storage that is NFS-mounted to clients, and they quickly dump their key data onto the NFS, and then later on the net backup picks up that data from NFS. Dump it to tape or to send it, ship it over to a remote location. And we use StoreWise to compress that backup in line and then use data domain to ship it over to our DR location. And it works beautifully. I mean, both of them do their job that they're supposed to do. And having StoreWise in front of data domain does not take away from either one of those applications.
Did you ever consider applying data deduplication to primary storage?
I would not do that.
Why not?
So we are very performance sensitive, and data duplication needs to learn over time. And if I didn't have a churn of data, I would think about it. But as I mentioned, every 3 weeks my data is stale. Deduplication in a production environment under that scenario, at least for me, does not make sense.
I think there's also a major performance component of deduplication for an inline dedupe, and definitely for post-processing dedupe. I'd never consider that for primary storage.
Because of the performance.
Because of the performance.
Yeah. This is David Fly. I've got one question, if I may, for Shopzilla. What are the implications of rehydrating the data in a DR environment? How have you set that up so that you can ensure, you know, compatibility when you have to rehydrate it?
So specifically, as you move data, let's just make sure I get the question right. As you move data around and you've got to compress and then you've got to decompress or uncompress.
Yeah.
Or dedupe and undedupe, that's what you're referring to as rehydration. What about that, Burzin engineer? Does that create any problems for you?
Not really, primarily from the fact that StoreWise is a transparent device that just sits in the middle. As long as your receiving side has an equivalent or compatible environment where between your storage and your switch you have a StoreWise, you wouldn't even know that the data was compressed. Now, if you did not have a StoreWise, that's a problem. But even in those cases, they provide a utility for you to uncompress. But
so there's a software utility to do that if you had to.
Exactly.
Yes, there is if you had to. But the ROI is just so great on just having the device there that it wasn't a consideration for us.
Berzin, so how much storage are we talking about here that you've applied this to?
I want to say about 50 terabytes.
Okay. And have you thought about beyond test and dev, other applications where you might apply this? And if so, sort of what are some of your thoughts there or concerns? Or?
Well, now that we have, you know, my general rule of thumb is do not trust any vendor, right? So now that we have proven that I can actually trust this vendor, I will be deploying it in production either late this year or early next year. Because I see nothing but benefit from doing it. There is no downside to it. We've tested every possible failover scenario as to what will happen if this goes down, what will happen if it needs to upgrade in real time. And it's held up fairly well. So my plans would be to put it in front of our primary storage by the end of this year.
Is there anything that you would like to see StoreWise do? I mean, with the architecture or capabilities that's not there, I mean, what would be your sort of wish list or priority list there?
I think they already, just to for the edification of people on the call, to be able to do this at the SAN level rather than just the protocol level of NFS or SIFS would be extremely beneficial, because I don't care what product you use for NAS or SIFS, behind the covers, everybody has a SAN, whether it's an open tier implementation or a closed solution like NetApp. At the end of the day, you have disk behind it that are part of a SAN that has a LUN, and if you could compress it at that level, I think it's hugely beneficial, so I would like to see that.
Yeah, I wonder, I mean, for you, Berzin, or others on the call, I mean, are we seeing the day where we're starting to see these technologies, let's call them capacity optimization technologies coming out, whether it's dedupe or compression or single instancing? It almost seems like we're reaching the day where if you're going to purchase or acquire a storage technology, you're going to ask the vendor, is this storage optimized? And if it's not, then go back and optimize it and call me when it is. I mean, is that overstating the possibility, or is that something that you think could be a reality?
I think it's a reality now, at least if you look at the government report on the growth of data, they're saying that by next year we'll have three times as much data as we did in 2007. So it's not even 100% growth year over year, it's more than that. And these new touchy-feely technologies like the Twitters and the Facebooks of the world only explodes the use of storage and the retention of data that you need to carry.
Did I hear Jerry Murphy?
Yeah. I was just going to, from Robert France Group, I was just going to throw out there when you're hearing about this optimization, the only thing I wanted to add is you have to have optimization, but you know, there's lots of things that can be optimized, and I would say what you optimize is actually going to matter to people, because am I optimizing performance, you know, latency, bandwidth, you know, throughput of data? Am I optimizing cost? Am I right? So I think for different people, what I want to optimize is going to matter a lot. For example, look at SSDs. I mean, if I want to actually optimize data I/O throughput, even though the unit cost of solid-state storage is much higher than other storage, if what I'm trying to optimize is performance, then putting SSDs in the front of a tier actually might be a lower cost per transaction than less expensive data deduplicated infrastructure. So I think you really got to look at the specific business use case to determine what it is specifically I'm optimizing in my storage infrastructure. People have to be assured that the risk of losing data as a result of doing compression is so negligible that there's not a risk associated with it.
And Jerry, to that point, I mean, that's why we've done, and I know some of my peers in the financial industry have done extensive testing. I mean, obviously the whole concept of lossless compression is utmost in anybody's mind in using this technology.
Can you mathematically prove that you can restore it?
Our technology, our underlying core technology, is really just a proprietary implementation of LZ compression. So it's one of the points we always like to drive home is this is a 100% lossless technology. We can always decompress any data we compress back to its original state bit for bit. In fact, that's built into the platform itself. We never write a file to storage. We never provide a compressed packet to your storage platform without first validating that we can decompress that as part of the write process.
So how does that work?
When we write data to storage, now we're operating at a protocol level. So say a SIFS packet comes in through the network towards the storage, you've so configured the appliance to compress that traffic. We, in effect, unwrap the protocol layers, compress the payload of that storage, of that file to storage, wrap it back up, and send it on its way. So, you know, the storage, so to speak, is none the wiser. All it sees is a smaller file. But part of that process of when we do that compression on the payload, we hold that original write temporarily in memory. We compress it. Then we decompress it, and we do a bit-level comparison of the original write and the version that we just decompressed. And we do that, again, to ensure data integrity, that we can always decompress that data back to its original format. Along with that compressed version, a checksum is embedded in every compressed packet. So when that data gets read out, we again run that checksum and confirm that that data is bit for bit equivalent to what you natively wrote originally.
Excellent. Thanks very much. Well, I have a question for both the people who have implemented this. When wouldn't you implement it?
That's a very good question. I can't think of a situation where I don't want to implement this because there is no downside to it. If I take it from that approach, right? I mean, the obvious gut check answer is if you have highly compressed data, why waste time sending it through this device?
Right, so encrypted data or JPEG data or something like that.
Right, but let's take the exact opposite approach and say, what difference does it make if I send that data through this device? Maybe the compression ratio is 5%. I don't see a downside to that, because even if you get a 5% compression ratio, I think it will negate the 10 milliseconds or the 50 milliseconds it takes to have a inline device, have the exact, I don't care what that latency number is. Maybe StoreWise actually has a figure on that as to what it takes to have another switch in the mix. I suspect it's in the microseconds.
You're absolutely right, microseconds.
Yeah, and this is John. So what you're talking, John Blackman, so what you're talking about there is latency across an Ethernet network, which is today basically normally highly oversubscribed and already has latency built into it that is negligible to the disk or the compression engine, where opposed to doing it in the SAN, you do not have the same type of latency parameters, and therefore doing it at the SAN is a much more volatile situation. I think this technology applies well for using, shall I say, stale or stagnant data, hence stuff that's on a NAS, as opposed to transactional-based data that's maybe in a database or and that's on a SAN.
I would have to disagree. I think that if they do it right, they have a huge market to capture on the SAN side as well.
Yeah, but it sounds like they dropped it a couple years ago because it was too difficult to do it right.
That's true. It is difficult to do it. I would say it's on my wish list.
Yeah, mine too. And I don't think they've dropped it, from my understanding. So,
well, maybe not dropped it, but it's not anything that's probably going to be showing up on our doorsteps in the next 6 months.
Coming, guys. It is coming. As with any newer technology, you do have to focus on what you can sell today and what products are on the market and on the truck, so to speak, today. But it is coming.
All right, everybody. Well, that's excellent. Great call today. We're out of time. On behalf of the Wikibon community, I'd really like to thank Berzin Engineer for sharing his experiences with us. Really appreciate it, Berzin. Thank you.
Awesome.
I'd also like to thank the other Wikibon members who contributed in the call today. Dave Berman, it was good to have you on. Christian, thank you for coming on to the call and answering some of the StoreWise questions. Josh Krischer from Josh Krischer Associates. Excellent comments as always, and as well, John Blackman, thanks for providing the practitioner perspective from Safeway's standpoint, and then David Floyer from Wikibon and Jerry Murphy from RFG. Good to have you guys on. As a reminder, Within 24 hours of this call, we'll have up on Wikibon 6 research notes pertaining to this call today with user actions, so look for those and feel free to hit the edit tab and improve the pieces. And thanks, everybody, for listening, and thanks for being a Wikibon member. Bye for now.